each year wandering, do we? Not quite sure of where we're heading or what God's doing. We want to be a people who are in pursuit of God, who are following God's paths and God's ways. And the Christian life's often been likened to a journey. None of us quite knows how long that journey will be for each one of us. But what counts is our faithfulness to God. And in the Message version of Psalm 119, it talks about living according to God's life maps. Okay? So Psalm 119, verses 1 to 5, and I'm reading from the Message version, says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him." That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road that he set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady. And if we want to be blessed by God, then we've got to stay on course, it says. We've got to walk steadily on the road revealed by God. We don't need to wander off on our own. We need to walk straight along that path that he set for each one of us. Hebrews 12 says, "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you won't grow weary and lose heart." We've got to stay on course. We've got to run with perseverance that race marked out for us. And we've got to avoid getting lost. I don't think that anybody actually ever intends to get lost, do they? You know? You don't set out on your journey thinking, "Oh, I really want to get lost." But it's easy at times to lose your way and to end up, you know, wondering where you are and how you're going to get to your destination. So we're going to look at ways of avoiding getting lost. Now, you've already talked about some of the things that can help you when you're on a journey. First of all, you need some idea of your destination, really, and of the roads that lead there. So these days we've got sat navs in particular that can help us, and we've got maps, you know, the old-fashioned way. They're usually very reliable, not always trustworthy sat navs, I wouldn't say. There's some skill that you need in learning to read a map, isn't there, originally? You know, it looks a bit strange when you first see it. But again, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 10 says, "How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs that you've posted." God's word is like a map to us. It leads us in those paths of righteousness, the right paths. It directs us in ways that please God. And his word gives us road signs, signs that are posted at every curve and corner. As we said on the map that I've had done for us, the signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. If we want to have a good journey throughout 2018, if we want to journey towards God rather than away from him, if we want to choose the road to somewhere rather than spending all our time wandering down cul-de-sacs that don't really go anywhere, then we've got to find the signposts of God and follow his life maps. I'm sure you've all travelled on journeys that take longer than they should, perhaps because you had to make a detour or you missed a sign. It's not always easy, especially when you're abroad, you know, to understand the signposts, is it? There might be, you know, you might have diversions, or you might have lovely signs like this in French that says all directions going left, and then other directions going the opposite direction. Well, I don't know about you, but I would have thought all directions meant all directions. So having a sign telling me to go on another direction doesn't really help me. I can remember one journey. We'd been on holiday in the French Alps. We've got a map of where we were. Okay, we were in the French Alps, which is the first dot that's going to appear. And we were coming home, and we were going up to Calais, but my dad ended up missing the sign, and we were going south. Okay, and he was, you know, determined that we were going on the right path. And I'm thinking, we're going to end up in Nice, or we're going to end up, you know, in Cannes. We are not going to get to Calais, which is completely the opposite direction, in time for this ferry. And eventually, he had to admit that he'd made a mistake, and he had to turn round and go back the opposite direction. And we can be like that. We can be, you know, stubborn in saying, no, I'm going down this path no matter what. But the writer of Proverbs 4 says, you know, take my advice, it'll add years to your life. I'm writing out clear directions to wisdom way. I'm drawing a map to righteous road. I don't want you ending up in blind alleys or wasting time taking wrong turns. Hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Don't take wicked bypass. Don't so much as set foot on that road. Stay clear of it. Give it a wider berth. If we want to avoid unnecessary problems this year, then we've got to follow God's directions to the right path, to the wise way of living, and avoiding wicked bypass and blind alleys. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, I think you have to watch your step. We have to avoid the ditches and the ruts of evil. Yeah, so that we can spend time with God's word. We don't want to be falling down potholes all the time. This time of year, you know, the roads can be awful, can't they? And you can fall and trip in them. It's generally a lot easier to find your way in the daytime when it's light rather than at night time. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "You brothers and sisters are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of the Lord, should surprise you like a thief. You're all children of the light, children of the day. We don't belong to the dark or to the night. So don't be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober." God has given us plenty of light. It tells us in 1 John that God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. And so if we claim to have fellowship with him, he says, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and we don't live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we've got fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So we've got to watch our steps. We've got to listen to God. We've got to be sensitive to sin. Even if we want to go one direction, but we know that that's the wrong way, we need to go the way that God says. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. So God won't lead us down any path that's going to contradict what he's already said is the right way. He's not going to do that complete 180-degree turn and say, yes, you can, you know, you can do that. That's fine now. Do what you like. God's plan for each one of us is to receive salvation and to be transformed into the image of his son. And that's what he's working on for each one of us, transforming us, changing us, bringing glory to God. We've got to follow the directions that he's given if we're going to avoid the ruts and the ditches and the enemy's snares and the traps and the sheer difficulties that life brings. You know, this year might be very challenging for us, but the best way to avoid the ditches and the ruts that would trip us up is to be careful to walk in the light with Jesus so that at least we can see the ditches and we can avoid them. And we need to choose God's way. God has given us free will. Yeah, there's a road, Proverbs says, that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. You know, Jesus talked about that wide gate that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. God's word is a light for us. It's like a lantern. It illuminates every choice that we make. Psalm 43 says, "Give me your lantern and compass. Give me a map so I can find my way to the sacred mountain, to the place of your presence." If we want to travel well this year, then we've got to make God a priority. As Gary said this morning, we've got to think about and reevaluate our priorities. We need to spend time praying, reading God's word, joining together in fellowship, witnessing to other people, because there aren't any shortcuts to God. Matthew 7 in the Message version says, "The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life to God is vigorous and requires your total attention. You know, choosing God's way can only happen as we make God a priority. We're not just part-time Christians turning up on a Sunday or when we feel like it, only ever praying in a crisis. We're never opening our Bibles for daily guidance because it feels too much like hard work. You know, if we're like that, we're never going to make any progress on our journey. Life is like a pilgrimage. We're heading towards God. And we need to choose to live the way that God commands. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to be going round and round in circles. There's a scene that I like in one of the National Lampoon films, The European Vacation, where Clark Griswold and his family come to England. And they're in London, and they're going round the roundabout near the Houses of Parliament. And obviously, they're used to driving on the other side of the road. And he just can't get over on this roundabout to take the turn that he needs to. So he keeps going round and round this roundabout saying, "Look, kids, Big Ben, Houses of Parliament." And of course, the first time it's interesting, but in the film it shows you it going from daylight to nighttime. He's still going round this roundabout because he just can't manage to fathom how to turn left off the roundabout. And you know, we can be like that. We can just be going round and round in circles, not really making any progress, just doing the same things over and over again. You know, we fall into the same traps because we're not willing to let God direct us. If we want to make progress this year, then we've got to, above everything else, pray as Jesus did, "Not my will, but yours be done." We've got to pay attention to God and to the things that happen to us and to read those things through the lens of God's redemptive love. And as we said on the sign that we had, you know, that we found eventually, yeah, we need to turn around when necessary. I'm sure we've all heard that, haven't we, on your sat-navs. You know, it's a dreaded phrase when your sat-nav says it to you, "Turn around when necessary," because it means that you've gone wrong. You've got off the planned route somehow. And we don't like turning around. My dad drove a lot further than he needed to, because he didn't want to admit that he'd made a mistake and he'd gone the wrong way. But it's wiser to turn round and correct your mistakes sooner rather than later. Jeremiah said, "Set up signposts to mark your trip home. Get a good map, study the road conditions. The road out is the road back." Gary always laughs because I'm the kind of person that I mark a way that I've gone and I have to come back that way. If I go back a different way, I get lost. I'm very good at getting lost. But, you know, we've got to be willing to turn round if we've made a mistake. We don't just keep ignoring the mistake. The church in Ephesus was criticised for losing its first love. And what was the cure for that? Repent and do the things that you did at first. The church in Laodicea was criticised for being lukewarm. And what was it told to do? It was told that it had to depend on God again, just like it did at the start. Paul's very practical in his advice to people. In Ephesians, he says that they've got to put off their old ways and put on their new self. He says you've got to put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour. Anyone who's been stealing, don't steal anymore. Do something useful with your hands that they may have something to share with those in need. And he goes on to challenge us all about how we should live. In verses 29 to 32... "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." And there are no exceptions there. There are no get-out clauses. You know, maybe you say, "Well, you don't know what I have to put up with." Well, no, but I'm not the one giving you those instructions. God is the one that gives us the instructions, but he's also the one that gives us the power to do what he says. His Spirit lives in us to change us, to transform us. And we need to think through what that means for us in our daily lives. How do we use social media? What are we posting on Facebook? Is it helpful? Is it building other people up? You know, we can't dictate how other people respond, but we are urged to get rid of all our bitterness, all our rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. We're the ones that are told to be kind and compassionate to one another and to forgive each other. Forgiveness is a big thing. Jesus has forgiven us, and so he commands us to forgive others. He says in Matthew 6, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We can still turn round this year because we're still living in the day of grace. I think, you know, I really believe that God has got good plans for us this year, for us as individuals and for us as a church. You know, I long for us to see God move in new ways, to move in power, to do something in our community that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. You know, there's so much more for us to experience in God, to explore. But it's not enough for us to just sit back and say, okay, God, we're waiting, it's all down to you. You know, we can't make God do anything, of course we can't. We can't force his hand. But the sure way to God's blessing is to live as he's commanded us to live. If we dwell together as a family in unity, if we do the things that he's commanded us to do, we can be confident that he will do all those things that we can't do, that he will move in ways that astound us. Our part is to watch our steps, to follow his guidance, to choose his ways above our own ways, and to turn around when necessary, when we go astray. God's looking for people who will follow him with all their hearts. He's looking for people who are devoted to him. When you read Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, you can't help but be struck by the psalmist's passion for God. He's single-minded in pursuit of God. He's hidden God's word in his heart so that he won't sin against him. He says, I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. He talks about pondering every morsel of wisdom from God, every crumb. And that's the kind of passion and fervour and zeal that God wants to ignite in our lives. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm and tepid. He wants us to be on fire for God. He wants this fire to shape our thinking and our living and our giving and our saving and our working and our everything. God wants all of us. He is that all-consuming fire. And he wants us to put all the pieces of our lives on his altar and let his fire fall so that we're being transformed continually into his image with ever-increasing glory. So, are you up for the journey this year? Are you up for this transformation? Are you excited about the road that God has got mapped out for each one of us? I pray that each one of us will embrace his will and his word with passion. Let his spirit fan into flame all those gifts that he's placed within us, and that he'll use every one of us for his praise and for his glory. Amen.